We have come out, and we heard the good reports from him, and that's real good. Praise the Lord for it. All right, let's do this tonight. Let's open our Bible to Exodus chapter 32, the book of Exodus chapter 32, and we'll get in the scripture here in just a few minutes before it starts snowing in Michigan. Exodus chapter 32. Keep praying, kids. Just keep praying. It ain't cold enough yet. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. I want to read you a verse of scripture here tonight, bring you a little thought that every church needs to hear this evening. If you've been in church over a year, you need this message, and I'm just going to point out several little things here, and we'll go. It'll not be long, and I want to remind you that we are having a work day evening, tomorrow evening, at the new church. And ladies, if y'all want to come, we've got a lot of cleaning up to do. Men, you know what our job is, and we've got a lot to do. We got some reports on that steel. If anybody else knows where we can get some tubular steel, that's square steel like that. Let me know tonight. We're going to have it tomorrow. And let me know that this evening. We'll be over about 5:30 tomorrow evening. I'm going down to Winston-Salem after I get my radio tapes made and spend a while down there. And then I'll be coming back to the new church. And then Wednesday night, we're having something that everybody needs to be. We're studying the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to talk about a man Wednesday night that could pay Bill Gates to do his toenails, brother. I'm telling you, this man is rich. You never heard of a rich man. You want to study Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We've been having some real good studies on it, so don't miss Wednesday night. Amen. All right? Exodus chapter 32 this evening and verse number 6. Now, the children of Israel here out in the wilderness, and Moses had a lot of dealings with them. God put all these stories in the Old Testament, so when we read them, we can say, that sounds like me. That sounds like us. I've been through that. That's what happened to me. That's why these stories, the Bible said for our example, that we shouldn't make the same mistakes some people made, and a lot of times we do. But look at Exodus 32 and verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Isn't that an unusual verse? Here's these children of Israel sitting out here in the desert where the pillar of fire, cloud by day and fire by night, and the Bible said they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It's hard to imagine them playing, isn't it? It really is. I mean, here's the children of Israel playing Pac-Man, that's the last video game I played. They've come out with a few of them since then. I mean, these things now, you got to be about nuts to work them. But anyway, Pac-Man didn't have demonic stuff in it. I reckon he might have been, but they didn't do that. They didn't have video games. They didn't have internet. I don't know what they was doing. Shooting dice, drawing straws, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But they rose up to play. And so tonight, I want to preach on this subject, playing church. Playing church. Now, the main business of a church, if I understand the Bible right, is to preach the gospel and get people saved. That's our job. A church don't exist for no other purpose than that. We have a threefold purpose. We are to, number one, we are to exalt the Savior. Number two, we are to evangelize the sinner. And number three, we are to edify the saints. Now, I've been pastoring a long time, and I tried, by the grace of God, to keep the church on the track on those three things. Everything we do, everything we're involved in, every activity, every arm, every outreach, every program of the church should be geared around doing one of them three things. Evangelizing sinners, exalting the Savior, or edifying saints. A church has no business in a lot of junk that churches are in tonight. The devil don't care what we get off on as long as we get off. He don't care. I don't care. The devil don't care how dumb you look as long as you're not on the main track. I travel around a lot, and I go down the road, and I see the road once in a while, and I see these little signs. Don't get mad at me if you've done this in your community. Don't get mad. I'm just trying to make a point, okay? And it says this sign, it says, this highway has been adopted by the youth group of such and such Baptist church. And what the world wants us to do is they want us to think it is our job to go out on Saturday and pick up beer cans that the sinners throwed out on Saturday night. I'm telling you, that ain't what God called us to do. God didn't call us to go up and pick up the sinners' beer cans and keep Mother Earth clean. Amen? Can't hear you. Thank you. I'm telling you, that is not our mission. Now listen, brother, it'll be snowing you know where when Shining Light Baptist Church adopts a street and we go out on Saturday and meet and pick up beer cans. That ain't what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to evangelize them beer drinkers and get them saved, and they'll keep throwing, then they'll throw their beer cans in the trash can. But anyway, I tell you, that's our job. Our job tonight is to evangelize sinners. I tell you, old Sam Gibbs out there in Oregon somewhere where these tree huggers live, and all, there's a lot of people nowadays that think Christians, it's our job that we should protect Mother Earth, and oh, we should protect the environment, and oh, you know, listen, I respect God's house and God's place, but there's a lot of places out there in this world I wouldn't care to throw trash down on. You might disagree with that. I think sin to throw down a wad of paper in a $20,000 car. But anyway, listen, I was out there, when it comes to God's house, I won't spit on the parking lot out here. I won't. I know I'm funny about stuff like that. Some of you might think I'm crazy. When I go into a restroom, some old truck stop somewhere, well, I don't care, boy, I wipe my hands off, it falls on the floor, I turn around and walk off. Now, I ain't like that about this church. I was back here this morning, I hate to tell you this, because some of you shook my hand, but the men's toilet don't always stay real perfectly clean. And I looked down there and I thought, I don't want nobody to see that like that. And I grabbed me some paper towels and wadded them up and cleaned the commode off back there. You say, Brother Danny, that I sure did. And then I come out and shook your hand. I wiped it off. I sure did. You know why? Because I want people to see God's house is clean. But now, you think I'm going to do that in a truck stop? No, sir. That ain't going to happen, brother. I don't care how dirty it gets out there. But we're living in a time when people think that the earth is our mother, which it's not, and somehow or another we're supposed to show this great kind of respect, and it's our job to, they think, I heard somebody got mad because somebody used an aerosol can. They said, you're polluting the environment. And I think we all ought to go buy a big can of that stuff and just go and spray it out there. There ain't no hope for this world. You know what God thinks the environmental movement? He's going to melt it with a fervent heat. It's every bit going to burn up one of these days. I mean the Pisgah National Forest. I mean up yonder in beautiful mountains. God is going to set it on fire. What are you going to do? Arrest him? Tell him he's not here? That's not what he's interested in. God is interested in men, women, boys and girls, and souls going to heaven or hell when they die and leave this world. It's not our job to keep the world clean. Old Sam Gibbs out there in Oregon somewhere, and these tree huggers, they have funeral for trees. And they do. They really do. I mean, if they find out somebody's going to cut a tree, they all stand around it and hold their hands around these Greenpeace people. Al Gore believes that doctrine. Stuff like that. I mean, they're nuts. Their mind went to Disney World. Something never did come back. They were talking the other day on the news about securing our national borders to keep all the illegal immigrants from coming from Mexico, and some of the senators were standing up and saying that we could not build a fence on a certain part of the border because there was a certain species of frog down there or something that might get squished by a fence builder, and that would be a terrible thing while we're letting illegal aliens over here that we might squish a frog that's on the endangered species list. And I mean, these are people that are running our country tonight. That is not what God called us to do. Old Sam Gibbs was out there preaching on the radio, and boy, he got on there, and there's a lot of these hippie Greenpeace people out there. And old Brother Gibbs got on the radio, and he said, I just want all you to know I spit on your mother a while ago. Boy, they got mad. People got upset. He said, I ain't going to tell you what else I did to her. He said, I don't want... That's right. You say, that's disrespectful. No, I tell you what's disrespectful. People that'll step on the Bible and mock God, and they're lesbians, and then they say we worship nature and have pain, and dishonor what God said and claim to be Christians. I'm telling you tonight, that's not what God called us to do. They said he's a bunch of whales. This is what Sam Gipp said. Y'all know Brother Gipp. He's a great Bible teacher. He said these whales got up there and they got on the beach and they couldn't get back in the water. You know, they do that once in a while. Somehow or another, they wiggle up there and get on the ground and they can't get back in. And they call the churches. Isn't it funny that they won't say, separate the church and state, don't open their mouth, we can't say nothing outside these walls, but when Katrina hits or when there's a death, they want the church to give money to it. Isn't that odd? They want our money then. They don't want us to have a voice. They don't want us to vote. But boy, when they have a disaster, well, why don't some of these churches, well, you don't want to believe in separating church and state, let church and state pay for it. Amen? And they can't stand the hypocrite. But I will tell you something this evening, brother. These little whales got on the beach. You've heard that joke, you know. I said, you know, your mama's so large. You heard him, Joe? I said, your mama's so large. She fell down on a bunch of whales on the beach one day, and they all jumped up and started singing, "We are a family." But anyway, these whales got on the beach, and these whales got on the beach, and they couldn't get back in. And they called the church, and they said, "We need to help you to help us to get these whales back in the water so they can go back to their natural habitat." And Brother Gibbs said, "I ain't going down there and using my time to go and get a bunch of stupid whales back in the water. If they ain't got no more sense than to get up on the beach, then we ain't going to fool with them. That's not what God called us to do. God didn't call us to pick up trash. God didn't call us to do these crazy things like that. God called us to exalt Jesus Christ, to tell sinners how to get saved, keep men, women, boys, and girls out of hell, and evangelize them, and edify the saints, and build them up in the faith. God didn't call us in the recreation business. I mean, you can play ball if you want to. I play basketball myself. But God did not call. I know churches that can get 15 men out to play softball 3 nights a week and can't get 5 men to go out business. You know, as well as I know, that's not the business of the church. Amen? Amen. That's right. Don't get quiet on me now. I'll get on that for a little while. There are churches down in South Carolina that was paying their ball players. Paying the ball players. I mean, don't even have a soul winner and paying the ball players to play basketball so they can beat the church across town. Say, everybody beat our Saturday night. We're going to beat First Baptist. Now, that is not what God called us to do. I'm going to say tonight, I'm going to talk about playing church. When I was little, all us boys used to play army. And I remember, I don't know, some of you guys remember, you remember when you was little, they'd buy these bags full of little green army men. How many of you ever had one of them when you was little? Okay. Little bitty army men. And some of them would be like Kiss, you know. They'd be like that with their gun. And some of them would be like on a little tank. And some of them would be standing like that with a rifle. And some of them, and you'd take these little men out here and you'd put them in the sand. And you'd have them kneeling down over there. I never did really do that, but I saw a lot of boys do it. I thought it looked sort of crazy to me, you know. I wanted to run and climb a tree or something. But anyway, they had these little big green army men. And they'd go, pew, and he'd fall. And they'd go, pew, and make him fall, and they would notice the ricochet and sound effects. There are those bullets of those army men being shot, and they would shoot each other, and they'd all get killed. I remember this one boy, I believe he was about the 10th grade, and you'd still see him out playing with them little green army men. He had them all over his yard. I mean, when we used to laugh at him, playing with them little men, and what they do, and I got to think about that. And then I got to think about how we grew up. And about the time when I was 18, they finally dropped you had to go register for the draft. And I remember I didn't have to do it, and I thought, thank God. But a lot of them boys in Marion, I remember them boys, they grew up playing army. And then they went and they got in the army, and some of them went to Vietnam. That was several years older than I was. Went to Vietnam. We have some in our church, I think, that went to Vietnam. And boy, they'd come back to Marion on Saturday after they'd been in basic training. They had them boots all shined up and them had army, a camouflage army suit on. Man, they'd walk down the street of Marion. Look at me. I am a soldier. I'm a soldier, buddy. Look at me. I'm bad. I'm bad news. I'm a soldier. And then they got over in Vietnam. And then, brother, they got over there, and they got down there in the jungle, and it's 95 degrees in the shade. And I mean, mosquitoes, it's humid and hot, and bullets are flying, hand grenades blowing up, seeing their blood and guts all around them. Didn't have nothing to drink. And, buddy, you know what they did then? They said, "Oh, my Lord, I want out of this. They're shooting real bullets out here. I mean, a man get killed in this place." And it wasn't that much fun. That wasn't playing army. That was real army. And I can't help but think that a lot of people have the same idea toward church. We come in here, you know, we wear the uniform, we fix up on Sunday morning, carry a Bible. I know a lot of young preachers that do that. Boy, they want to get in on, you know, you want to be a soldier. Bless God, I got my King James Bible under my arm. I got on a suit and tie. Yes, sir. This is walking down Main Street. This is being at your boot camp. And then they get in the ministry. I got in it when I was 19. And then they get in the ministry. And then they find out, blam, the devil hits them here. And blam, the devil hits them there. And blam, the devil hits them there. Buddy, I got shot every way I turned. And it didn't take me long to figure out it's not a glory trip. It's not walking down the street with shiny boots. They're shooting real bullets out here. This is war we're in, people. This isn't just a place where we come in and shine and bright and act like we're big soldiers in the Lord. I mean, you can get hurt out here in the Lord's army. You can get your heart ripped out. You can have your family ripped apart. The devil will get your kids and mess up their lives. The devil will make up your marriage. The devil will get your health. They're shooting real bullets out there on us tonight. We ain't playing church. We're really in the Lord's army. I'm telling you tonight, I'll never forget when I first got saved. Joe can tell you, he got saved the night after I did. When I first got saved, my feet never touched the ground for 6 months. I'm telling you, it was great. I'm telling you, I was floating. Every prayer I prayed, God answered. Everything I just said, God do it, and the Lord, it was just like you could reach out there and touch Him. Remember them good old days? And I thought, Lord, and I remember hearing people stand up and say, "Y'all pray for me, I'm discouraged about it." I thought, "You're lying. You ain't discouraged. This is wonderful." Woo! How could anybody? And I remember when I first started preaching, people told me that, I mean, them old ladies up in them mountain churches, they'd come around and shake my hand like Miss Kerr was talking about. Everybody in the church would come around and shake your hand. And I felt sort of stupid. The preacher would say, "Now, we're going to have this young man stand up." I'd stand there like an idiot. One church came up and pinned stuff all over me. That's the honest truth. Each one of them had, it was some kind of little custom they had. I'll get back to what I said. So they come up and they started pinning stuff. The old women come up and I said, "If you stick me, I'm going to slap you." I mean, and they were sticking pins all over me. I looked stupid when they got to me. And I had stuff all over me. The old women grabbed and kissed me on the cheek and I just threw like that. And boy, I'll tell you what, I remember them old ladies stand up and she'd grab my hair like that and she'd say, "Young man, don't you ever quit." And I remember thinking, "Why are you saying that? Why am I not saved and going to heaven? I ain't going to hell when I die. What are you talking about? Who in the world want to quit?" Oh boy, did my day come. Lord have mercy. It wasn't too many years after that that I got hit so hard I had to look up and see the bottom. I thought, "God, you're killing me. I can't make it." But I'm telling you, deep down inside, something inside me said, "Press on, press on. Keep going, keep going, keep going." We're here, and by the grace of God, still tonight, by the grace of God, only by His grace, I'm still in the Lord's army. I'm still, bow, bow. I'm still shooting my gun. I'll draw it on you right now. Amen. I shot something this week. You know why? Because we're in God's army. Ain't no place to quit. Ain't no place for a quitter. We can't have eight people going AWOL. I knew of 50 boys that used to preach and sit on the front row and shout. Some of them are sitting right here and are out there and seeing the night. You know why? They're just playing. You got to mean business with this thing. You young people think you can just float through life and sit on the front row and say, "Amen, hallelujah," and the devil's going to leave you alone. You got another thing coming. He's out there right now. He's got a plan right now to mess up your life, to wreck your life, to get you out of church, to ruin your family, to get your kids in trouble. The devil's plotting something right now. You know, I was thinking, I ain't going by my notes tonight. I'm going to get to some of them in a minute, but I was thinking a minute ago, you know, we're getting ready to take a big step. Right now is a crucial time for this church. Right now. as we're in between getting ready to move to our new building. Once we get in that new building, you talk about putting us on the map. Baton's on the map. 57,000 people a day go by there. And if you think that the devil ain't planning something right now for Shining Light Baptist Church, you got another thing coming. And it ain't going to be that they're going to build a liquor store across the street from us. It ain't going to be that they're putting Hooters right next door. They ain't going to put a bar. It ain't going to happen. The devil will get in you people sitting right here and cause you to talk and get mad at each other and aggravate us in and mad get your feelings hurt and all that. He's planning right now. If you can't do that, he'll try to get your members, family broke up, make your wife leave you, make your husband leave you, make your kids rebel. He hates you. He wants to divide us. And we got to make up my mind. We are in war. We are at war. This is war. This is no place for the timid. This is no place for sissies. This is war, brother. This is war. I've seen a lot of young preachers, but Joey can tell you, started out preaching when we did. Biggest majority of them quit. And the reason they quit was when they got hit out there. You know, I never have been a boxer for obvious reasons. I mean, look how little I am. I play basketball, and I really am too little to play basketball, but I got ways of making up for it in basketball. I outsmart them. But in boxing, I'd love to box Mike Tyson. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just love just to knock the snot out of him? I mean, come on now. Quit sitting there acting like... Every man in here, and you ladies don't understand that, but every red-blooded man in here, wouldn't it feel good just to hit him right now? You know, that would feel so good. But I ain't going to do it. And you know why? Because he would knock my head from here across my head would be across the bank over there. He'd kill me with one punch. I mean, that's all it'd take. My head would probably come off of my body. If he couldn't hit back, I'd love. And that's where a lot of people get in church. They get in church and think we get to do all the hitting. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Amen. Good sermon tonight, wasn't it? Let's go sit over at Denny's and gossip. And let's go. This is Christianity, brother. Let's go to count meeting. Glory to God. Well, there's brother so-and-so. And there's brother so-and-so. Woo! Shout, brother. Well, you forget the devil's going to hit back. The devil's going to hit you back. You're going to go home and your wife will be full of demons. And if she ain't, you will be. If y'all ain't, the kids will be. And the devil's going to work on you. And the devil's going to fuss at you. And the devil's going to... They hit back. That's why a lot of people quit serving God. When you find out the devil's going to hit you back, that's when everybody's ready to quit. Boy, when I never got hit for a while. When I first got hit, whoa. Is this the way it's going to be, Lord? And the Lord said, yep, I'm going to be with you. I thought, okay. Whatever it takes, like she said, I'll draw closer to you. That's what I'm willing to do. And boy, I go, bam, hit again. And sometimes I feel like, Lord, am I a guinea pig? Why do you let all this stuff happen to me? God, why? And you know what the Lord said one time? The Lord said, because I trust you that you're going to stay in me and that you're going to stay right, and I'm going to use you to show the world that the devil can stop a man that won't lay down and quit. Say amen. Lord of God, brother, I may not be much. You may not think much of me tonight, but by the grace of God, I ain't going to be no quitter. Amen. We're going to finish the job by His grace. We're going to cross the finish line by His grace. We're going to see Jesus by His grace and only by His grace. Amen. Thank God tonight, we're not playing church. This is war, and we're in the battle. Now, some people get knocked out when the church gets hit. And the church is going to get hit. The church is going to get hit now worse than it ever has in 2008. There's a lot of casualties back down the road. I'm going to say a couple of things. I ain't going to be able to get to my outline tonight. I was going to say this. A church that does not magnify the Word of God is playing church. Now, you know me. I don't have to state my position. Everybody knows me. It's been out on tape for 32 years. Everybody that knows me knows that I believe that that book is God's inspired Bible. And we believe at this church whatever that book said is right. If I don't live up to it, it's right and I'm wrong. If your blessed old mama that seen 14 angels in her bedroom one night don't agree with this, your blessed old mama who's seen 14 angels is wrong. I know churches where they say, but mama dreamed. Well, I don't care what mama dreamed. Mama might have had indigestion. Amen. Mama might eat too many pickled pig feet. Brother, mama might have had too much popcorn. Pizza will do that to you. Fish will do that to you. Lord, barbecue will do that to you. I don't care what mama dreamed. If mama dreamed something and said it's not according to the Word of God, then mama's wrong. A church that does not magnify the Word of God is plain church. I like what Lester Olof said. They were going to put him in jail one time, and they come down and he said, we need to see a copy of your bylaws. And he said, here it is, King James Version. That was their bylaws. Hey, somebody asked me, they said, what does your bylaws say? Oh, it right there is bylaws. Whatever it says, you don't need to make a bunch of rules the Bible don't even make. I know independent Baptist churches that make rules the Bible don't make. That make people do stuff the Bible don't say. I believe there's plenty in here to keep you busy 24 hours a day. Sure thing. Listen, whatever this book says, that's what we're going to go by the grace of God. If Brother Danny says something and the Bible says something else, you ignore me. Ignore me. Say, poor old fella's done run off the edge. He's done lost it. Whatever God said is right, and let God be true, and every man a liar. I seen somebody one day, and they said, are you Danny Castle? And I said, yes, ma'am. And they said, oh, I work with so-and-so. And they said you is the best preacher that they've ever heard in their life. And I started laughing. I didn't let them see me. But I thought, if I'm such a preacher, why don't they ever come? That person's playing, brother. Come to church once a month. Oh, our church, our preacher is this. I don't believe it. Listen, a church that does not magnify the Word of God. I heard about this guy. He said he came in one time and he found some old stuff, you know, and somebody began to talk to him and he collected Bibles. He collected Bibles. And this guy told me, he said, well, I found no Bible over there in the dump or in some trash way back then years ago and everything. And he said, you did? What kind of Bible was it? He said, like a German word, Gutenberg. He said, Gutenberg? He said, yeah. He said, you found the Gutenberg Bible? And the man said, yeah. He said, do you realize that was one of the first books that ever come off the printing press? Do you realize that's worth tens of thousands of dollars? He said, what'd you do with it? He said, I threw it in the trash. He said, crazy man, that Bible's worth a fortune. He said, you wouldn't want it. Some old preacher named Martin Luther wrote notes all over it. Oh, my Lord. That reminds me of how dumb some Christians are about the Bible. Let me tell you something here tonight. And this is Shining Light Baptist Church. We ought to know our Bible. On the count of three. Tell me how many chapters are in the book of Genesis. 1, 2, 3. On the count of three, somebody tell me the longest chapter in the Bible. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, 25. In the world you people do all the time. You say, well, I get up every morning and watch the weather. I've got to know the weather. I've got to know the weather. You don't have to know the weather. You can't predict the weather in this part of the country. We live in the foothills. You can't. They don't know what it's going to do when it comes over that mountain. It's liable to snow, rain, and either one. One day they said it was going to snow, and everybody put out the sun shone the whole day. Like that. You don't have to know the weather. The weather gets it wrong half the time. Stick your nose in that book and learn a little bit about God. I believe it was him that done this one time. I'm going to tell something on you, Joe. He went up into a little church way up in the mountains above Marion one time to preach. He got up a bunch of old mountain people over on them little Southern Baptist churches, you know, it's been the same people for 100 years. He said, all right, open your Bible to Hezekiah. Wasn't that you done that? He said, open your Bible to the book of Hezekiah. You know, some of you people sitting there looking at me like there is such a book as Hezekiah. I tell you what, just life, when everybody decides, well, how dumb you really are. If you see everybody else nodding, and we won't know that you don't know this. He said, turn the Bible to Hezekiah. He said, them old people looked. They went back and forward and back and forward. You know how it is when you can't find the book? sometimes you just fake it and just act like you're looking at it. You're in Ezekiel somewhere. How many of you ever done that? Yeah, you have, you hypocrite. See, they go over in the front, look, see what page it's on, and they're looking up. Well, there ain't no book of Hezekiah. He let them soak in about 5 minutes. He said, bunch of hypocrites, there ain't no such book. Didn't take it too good, did they? They got mad. They got mad. A church that does, let me just say this. You know what we use in Sunday school? The Bible. You know what Sunday school teacher used? The Bible. You say, what about them quarterlies? There ain't nothing wrong with a quarterly if you use it along with the Bible. I churches, and you have too, if you've been raised in this part of the country, where all you bring to Sunday school is your quarterly. I never could figure out why they call them quarterly. And then I figured out it was every 4 or 3 months or whatever. You got one of them. Everybody's got their quarterly. And everybody, if you turn on page 13 of the quarterly, and then some old guy there, and he just dry as a bird's nest. And he stand up there and say, and how the children of Israel went out into the promised land. That's Sunday school in most churches. That's Sunday school. Lord, have mercy, brother. We ought to make this book come alive. We ought to present this thing like, Lord of God, that's the most exciting thing. The thing in Hollywood puts out as exciting as that book right there. Disney World ain't got nothing on what this book says right here. This is the most exciting, most alive, most happening book in the whole world. A church that does not magnify the Word of God is playing church. Let me say, secondly, and I'll never get to all these. I'll just give you a couple more and I'll be through. Carnal-minded Christians are playing church. Carnal-minded Christians. Amen. Bible said in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death. Multitudes out there in the world. You work with people, you go to school with people, and a lot of people go to school with people, work with people, never even think of spiritual welfare. When you meet people at work, does it even cross your mind that they're going to live in heaven or hell someday forever? Does it think like that? A carnal-minded Christian don't think like that. Carnal-minded Christian says, well, how did he get a raise, and how did he get a raise? I'm living better than one day, brother. He got a raise, and I didn't get a raise. And how come she got more than I got a raise? But a spiritual-minded Christian will say, bless her heart, I don't even know if she's saved or not. I have people come, I can tell who's been reading the Bible. People's already asking me Bible questions. Every January, people ask me Bible questions for about a month. And it just fades out. I can tell when you quit reading the Bible, you quit asking questions. Don't bow your head yet. It ain't time to pray. If you don't ever have a Bible question, you ain't reading your Bible. You say, you ever have that? Sure, I do. Man, I read stuff all the time. And I'm like, what in the world? I remember one time I had old Dr. Ruckman in the car with me. Turned up to Marion one time when we left New Manor and was going down to the motel. And I had him in the car and I thought, well, I got him here. I'm going to ask him the hardest questions I know. And I told him what I said, Dr. Ruckman, what about that woman up there in Revelation? That had the moon under her feet, the sun, the stars around her head, and everything. And all I said, and she brought forth this man-child. And I get the part about it being Israel and everything, but I don't get the part where her man-child was turned up to God during the tribulation. All I said, what about that? And he looked at me and said, yeah, what about that? We just kept on going down the road. I'm telling you something, brother. I'm telling you tonight, brother. Listen, if a man reads the Bible, he's going to have some questions about it once in a while. Are you a Bible reader? Are you a Bible student? Do you read your Bible? Do you study your Bible? I mean, come on, people. Are we playing? If this is God's Word and you leave it laying in your kitchen on the sink or in the back glass of your car for a solid week, you ain't being serious in God's army. You just playing. You just play in church. You just play it. Amen? Carnal-minded Christians are just playing church. Let me say quickly tonight. I'll say this and I'll hurry. Churches who do not pray are playing church. If we don't pray, we're playing. I'm telling you, people need to get back. Nowadays, everybody wants a formula. I have people ask me, how do you get young people to get right with God? How do you grow a church? I don't know how to do it without preaching and praying. And especially praying. And if we don't pray, yes, if you pray a lot, you have that much power. You pray that much, you have that much power. You pray that much, you have that. Nowadays, the emphasis is on our education and our talent. Everybody says, oh, this great singing group, oh, this great preacher, he knows stuff. Listen, brother, if we don't pray, God's the one that builds the church. God's the one that saves people. God's the one that convicts people. God's the one that makes the church blessed. There ain't no way I can answer all the needs of this church. We've got to pray. Have you prayed? I hate to see what would happen. If I called a prayer meeting Saturday night and said, everybody meet down here and pray, you'd be shocked at what a handful would show up. Now, if I said we're going to feed everybody Saturday night, we'd have a crowd. There ain't nothing wrong with that if we want to do it. But brother, we better get a burden back to pray again. Every year at this time, we get a good burden to pray because it's getting youth rally time. We've got February, March, end of April youth rally. And we'll push, and I'll preach to you, and we'll fast, and we'll pray. And God honors that. He honors. God don't honor our youth rally because we have skits. He don't honor the youth rally because we're out in the fairground. One outfit tried that, or we did. They said, we're going to rent the fairground house, and it was a big flop. God don't bless it because we put up balloons. You'd be surprised, churches, that start. If we start having youth rallies at New Manor, you'd be surprised at the church youth rally pops up everywhere. God don't bless it because you have pizza. That ain't what brings. What brings the blessing of God is a bunch of people on the altar pouring out our heart before God and begging Him to come down, that heaven comes down and glory fill our soul once again. And there ain't no shortcuts. We want it easy. We want to just go eat, come in, get thrilled, get our flesh vitalized, our spirit blessed, and turn around and run, go home, watch TV, and go to bed, and eat before we go to bed, and eat. We don't want to fast. We don't want to pray. But a church that won't pray is playing.
Amen.
Church. Amen. We need to pray. I said a minute ago, the devil's planning something for us right now, people. You said, what do you know? I don't know. I don't know. I wish I did. If I did, I'd try to head it off. I don't care how many cracks you can patch up. He'll find one somewhere that you've left a little hole in. The devil never comes. He's like, well, I bet this is going to happen. He never comes in the way you think he's going to come. It's always through some. Oh, my goodness, never thought of that. Like, so all we do is plead the blood over our church. And y'all plead the blood over me. I'll be doing a lot of traveling here in the next few weeks, and plus the building program and all that. Pray that God give me enough sense to know which way to go and the decisions we got to make on stuff. We ain't all going to agree on. You know, a building program is a dangerous time for some churches. We ain't all going to agree on the color of the carpet. We ain't all going to agree on the. I don't know how they mark the parking lot off or what color toilet paper. We ain't all going to agree. We've got to say, hey, we're in an army. We're fighting a battle. Let's stay in there for Jesus and get this job done God's called us to do. Well, I'm going to stop right there. I was going to say some things about stirring up a racket, but we're going to do that, that's for sure. In a church that don't stir up a racket against the work of the devil. I remember one time on a Sunday night church, that Sunday night up in Marion, somebody said, I had a bad day. I had a real bad day. It was one of them days where it was just, ugh, and people fussing, and about 10 people wanting money, couldn't pay the grocery bill, and everybody was hitting me from every. And sometimes when you walk in the door, you just get hit. Well, you need to talk to so-and-so, and you need to straighten out so-and-so, and you need to, and I'm mad about this, and what about this, and the heat don't work, and somebody, the commode's overflowed, and you have all kind of stuff like that. That gets you in a good spirit to preach in. And I used to pull up and out there in front of my parking place. I'd see this couple of them just walking back and forth, waiting on me. I said, Lord, please, not today. Be the same thing. Brody! I remember, what was I talking about before I said that? You wasn't listening, was you? What I said? Oh, yeah, had a bad day. Thank you, Miss Hewitt. I was testing you. I had a bad day. And on top of this bad day, these Mormons was there that night. And somebody put these two Mormons up for me to straighten them out. And I've been into it with Mormons before, and I thought, Lord, Bless their heart, I love them, I want them to go to heaven and everything, but please. And so it, you know, when you get into somebody like that, after you get through, you just feel like your head's swimming or something. So I have these two Mormons here, and all of a sudden somebody said, "Hey, Brother Danny, somebody wants you on the phone." My office is over here like this. I said, "Thank God, somebody wants me on the phone." I said, "Hey, brother, you talk to these boys here. I got somebody else to talk to them. I got on the phone." This guy said, "This is so-and-so, this is Danny Castle." And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "I want to tell you something. I don't know if it was a good phone call or a bad phone call, but the Lord knew I needed a blessing, I guess. He said, I just want you to know. He said, I've been having a hard time." This boy's from Spruce Pine. Didn't know him. He said, "I've been having a hard time." He said, "At my church, they're starting to use a version of the Bible beside the King James." And he said, "I just didn't feel right about it." He said, "Something in me just said, that's not right. That's not right." But I was confused. And he said, "I went to my pastor." And I said, "Pastor, got a baptism on the birth." And he said, "My pastor said, well, Dr. So-and-so believes it like this. And Dr. So-and-so and Charles Stanley uses different versions than this person." And he said, "I'm confused." He said, "I don't want to be critical. I don't want to criticize great men. I don't want to be ugly." He said, "But something inside me kept saying, that's not right. That's not right." And he said, "I prayed and I said, God, please show me which is the right Bible." And he said, "I want to tell you, preacher." And I said, "Tell me." He said, "I went this Saturday to the dump." And he said, "I took a big load of trash to the dump." And he said, "I put my trash in the dump and I looked down. And there in the dumpster was a cassette tape. And it said, Danny Castle, don't let them get your Bible." And he said, "I picked that tape up." And he said, "I didn't even know who it was." And I went out and stuck it in my car. Player, and said, "You preached a sermon on the King James Bible." And he said, "God confirmed it in my heart." And then I got to think, I said, "Glory to God!" And then I thought, somebody threw my tape in the trash can. That hurt my feelings. That's what's called mixed emotions. Mixed emotions is what you get when your mother-in-law runs your new Cadillac off a cliff. I thought, somebody thought, but then I thought, glory to God. The Lord used it anyway. And I thought, well, hallelujah. And you know what? God has the most unusual ways of using churches. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's the way He works. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. And I'm closing. This, what we're doing here tonight, this is a spiritual work. It's not a company. This is not a business. A lot of people want to run a church like a business out there. This is not a business. It's a ministry. This thing's alive. We forget that. I know we got business. We're going to have something here in a few minutes. But that's not...